I think that all of us would agree that the COVID season, the pandemic that never ceases to end, has changed significantly the way we live our lives day to day, and in particular, the way we live our spiritual lives. We need only to think about the rules and mandatory protocols that are in place that we follow in order to worship here this morning. And I hope we're all still legal. I haven't checked the latest rules myself. I trust Kristen to study them appropriately and carefully and advise us just before we're put in jail. Are you confused about the rules? Last Sunday we were in church in church where we live in Florida. Maybe 200 to 300 people there. It was the beginning of their week of camp meetings. They had a special worship leader from out of town that was in. Leads the congregation in worship, and then when he was finished, as we used to do, said, "Now shake hands with a bunch of people before you sit down." 5 minutes later, the pastor gets up and says, "Well, we need a good offering, but we can't pass the plate due to COVID rules." Are we confused? It changed the way that we live out our faith. It impacts the way we do church. It impacts the programs that we can run and how we run them. It limits our outreach events. And it, we have to think about what risks are involved with people who would be attending them. It has impacted, obviously, our attendance at services and, of course, our offerings. And this is not unique to our church. These trends are evidence throughout North America and many parts of the world. So in consideration of these facts, I thought it would be appropriate today to review our church's 4 key mission points. I would point to them there on the wall. And you know, sometimes when things are in front of you all the time, you forget that they're there and you forget their significance and you kind of forget about them. I have that happen on occasion by living at Chesney Lake. We have a beautiful view, as some of you know, over the lake from our cottage and our neighbor's shingles down below. And I also have the privilege, I guess, of cutting a couple of lawns. It's something to do in my spare time for a gentleman that lives right down on the lake. And I often think to myself, I have to remind myself to see the beauty that's all around me in the lake. I can go down and cut those lawns right on the lake and be totally distracted by other things that are going on in my life. And that's like our spiritual lives, isn't it? Things get going so brizzy in our lives that we forget about our spiritual values. And as a church, sometimes we forget about those mission statements we have over there. So I think it's appropriate that we would think about them this morning. They are first to know God, secondly to find freedom, thirdly to discover purpose, and lastly to make a difference. And you know, it's appropriate, so appropriate, that to know God is the first one in the list. Because this knowledge is the key relationship on which all remaining aspects are built. And secondly, as we will see later in our study, in our thoughts about our knowledge of God, how we apply that knowledge. One thing to study and know a little bit about God, but how we apply the knowledge that we've gained will impact how we live out our lives in the months ahead in 2022. I want you to think. We lost sound here for a minute.
Yeah, it's dead. So get the mic. here now? A little bit too much. So as we go through this message today, I want you to remember that what you know about God, what you accept about God, and how you apply that knowledge will drive you as to how you live out your life in 2022. Do you ever think that the enemy really doesn't want us to worship here and to do what we love to do? Yep. This is an aside, this has nothing to do with my sermon, but I carefully, as I always do, prepared my sermon in advance, printed 2 copies ready for this morning, was up at 6 o'clock, went over my notes and prayed over them, handwritten in a few scribbles on top of them, and arrived at the church to realize I'd left them at home. No problem, I'll just print a couple of copies. My computer hasn't been here for a while. It's lost touch with the printer in the office. Can't print from my computer. Finally had Kristen come up with a solution and we got it printed, and now my voice is struggling. And you know what? We don't care what Satan is doing and what work he's involved with here this morning. We're still going to share the word and we're going to have a good time together. Amen?
Yeah.
Amen.
So this morning I'd like to spend some study time reflecting on the simple but profound and challenging words, know God. Boy, there's been a lot of great books written on knowing God. Blackaby, the name comes to mind. Packer, that's one that I read probably once a year. J.I. Packer, Knowing God. Tons of information in there. So our main text for this morning comes from the book of Jeremiah, chapter 9, beginning at verse 23. This is a good one to mark in your Bible. It's a good one to cut out and put on your fridge. Thus says the Lord, let not the wise man boast in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man boast in his might. Let not the rich man boast in his riches. But let him who boasts, boast in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord who practices steadfast love, justice, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, declares the Lord. Now obviously these words that are delivered from God by the prophet imply that developing our knowledge of God should be a top priority in every believer's life. So we've got it right. First bulletin up there says, know God. Now let me ask you a question. Have you given any thoughts in these early weeks of 2022 as to how you will improve your knowledge of God? And even more importantly, how you will use your knowledge of God to impact the way you live your day-to-day life. Your priorities, what you do, how you do it, where you spend your time, where you spend your energy. Perhaps, hopefully, one of the blessings of the COVID season has been somewhat of a reduction in our busy lives, giving us a little more time to spend on the things of God. But if we're not careful, our busyness around us will rob us of that blessing. You know, when we look at the text, we can clearly see that expanding our knowledge of knowing God and putting that knowledge into action would be pleasing to Him. So why wouldn't we be focusing on this in 2022? How many are familiar with the an acronym BBs, not the little thing that you put in your air rifle, but the BB often stands for the Better Business Bureau, an organization that endeavors to help customers know what businesses are doing things well and what businesses can be trusted. But today, for a moment, I'd like you to think about three B's. Basic, biblical, and balanced. Knowing God has been rightly described as being a lifelong quest, so it's impossible to cover all aspects of knowing God in a single sermon or even a sermon series. So each of us today should be actively pursuing this knowledge of God well beyond a single sermon, using whatever resources are available to us. But today it's important to at least touch on a couple of points from our first B, the basics. It's critical, absolutely important, that we have solid truth, basic information about God that acts as a firm foundation to build further knowledge on. The first basic I would remind you of this morning is that Christianity, our faith, believes in a triune God. We believe in the Trinity. Sometimes the Trinity has been defined as a mystery that our human minds can never fully comprehend. But essentially, we believe in a Godhead that's expressed in three different personalities: God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. In one sense, these three are equal. That's what we're taught. But in another sense, the Son and the Spirit are subservient to the Father. I want you to consider Philippians chapter 2, verse 6 to 8. Here we see Jesus proclaiming to be God and equal with the Father. But we also see that he was obedient or subservient to the Father. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself, listen carefully, in obedience to God, and died a criminal death on the cross. On other occasions, Jesus consistently said that he was acting in accordance with the Father's will or the Father's direction and purpose for him. He was consistently obedient to God the Father. In the early 1900s, a group emerged that became known as the Jesus Only Movement. They believed that the proper way to baptize was to baptize only in the name of Jesus. And over time, they concluded that Jesus was the one and only God, and he became the singular focus of their worship. It would seem that something similar is happening in many Christian circles today. We are distancing ourselves from God the Father. Perhaps this is because as people read the Old Testament, they see that God in the Old Testament was quite judgmental of people, frequently punished sin. Frequently punished sinful people and sinful nations. Such perceived harsh judgment is not popular today. And so people today tend to focus on Jesus, and in particular his record of grace and mercy and kindness that is such a key part of the New Testament. There are some important truths to remember. Some basic, there's that word basic, a word B. When we think about the roles of the person of the Trinity, they all remain. All three bodies of the Trinity, all three persons, are critical to our faith. We need to remember, for example, that Jesus died so that we could have opportunity to find forgiveness for sin and the opportunity to have our relationship with God the Father restored. That was all the point of Calvary, to restore our relationship with the Father through our sins being forgiven. But the second key point for basics is that God never changes. In Malachi chapter 3, verse 6, we read, "Therefore I am the Lord, God the Father, I change not." So a basic point about God is that his attributes have not changed. Sin, whether it's in an individual or a nation, is totally incompatible with God's attribute of his perfect holiness. So sin will eventually be punished, and fortunately for those who have accepted that Jesus died for our sins, that sin has already been punished. And if we read to the end of the book, if we read to the end of this book called the Bible, we see that Jesus is instrumental in bringing about the final judgment. And that brings us to another one of our B's. The word balance. Within the attribute of the Godhead, there is balance. God's hatred of sin is balanced by his attribute of love. Consider these words from the Old Testament and then from the New Testament. From Psalm 103, verse 11. "For his unfailing love toward those who fear him is as great as the height of the heavens above the earth." That's an amazing verse. Should be underlined in your Bible. His unfailing love toward those who fear him is as great as the heavens above the earth. How many light years away is the first star? God's love is great as the heavens above the earth. And then in 1 John chapter 4, verse 8, we read this straightforward statement from God's attribute of love. "But anyone who does not love does not know God. There's the knowledge of God, for God is love." And John immediately follows this up by reminding us of the evidence for God's love. In verse 9, he writes this: "God showed us how much love he loved us by sending his one and only Son into the world so that we might have eternal life through him." This is real love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as a sacrifice to take away our sin. Now, if we go back for a minute to the first few lines of our key text, we see that the Old Testament writer expressed the balance that I'm speaking about this way: "I am the Lord who practices steadfast love, practices judgment," that's dealing with sin, "and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, declares the Lord." So as we attempt to grow in our knowledge, we must be sure that we are biblical and that we are balanced. Amen. Now here's this key point that I want you to take away from today. I mentioned it already and I repeat it again. Your knowledge of God, your knowledge even of the basics about God, your knowledge of the balance of God's attributes, will govern how you live your life in 2022. If you put your knowledge into practice. I would like to give you a few examples to illustrate that point. First, a general point. If you spend a little time thinking about God's basic, balanced, and biblical attributes and the call his attributes place on your life, if you don't pay much attention to that, you will pay little or no attention to how you can make your life pleasing to God. Remember our text said, God delights in these things. But if you don't think about them, if you don't put them into action, How do you make your life pleasing to God? If you believe that God is a distant and impersonal force with no personal plans or aspirations for you, your time and your energy, your resources will be spent on your own priority and your own aspirations, and you will spend little of any time of your life's energy finding God's plans and spending your energy to live them out. Well, that happens. There's no doubt that happens. But this approach, it runs counter to what Jeremiah prays in Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 23. Jeremiah went through some difficult times. He had been given a difficult role to play in God's plan. And he came to this conclusion, and I hope all of us can come to the same conclusion. I know, Lord, that our lives are not our own. We talk a lot about discipleship. We talk a lot about being a follower of Jesus. Being a follower of Jesus, being a genuine disciple of Jesus, means coming to grips with this truth, this basic but biblical truth. Our lives are not our own. Jeremiah goes on, he says, we're not able to plan our own course. So correct me, Lord, and please be gentle. Maybe if you're like me, you sense at times you're getting away from God's plans and purposes for your life. We fail to remember or to acknowledge that our lives are not our own as believers. We're called to live out his plans and purposes for us. And so there comes a time in our lives when we have to, like Jeremiah, pray, Lord, correct me. Bring me back to the reality of who I am in you. Conversely, if you believe this basic truth from the Word that God does have a personal plan for you, then you will be aggressively pursuing those plans and ordering your priorities to see them accomplished. And in doing so, you will find delight, satisfaction, and fulfillment. Let's look at Psalm 37, verse 23. For the Lord delights and directs the steps of the godly. He delights in every detail of their lives. He delights in every detail of your lives when you recognize your life is not your own and you're following him. The bottom line is that if you delight in his plans for you, he will delight in you. In a similar way, another example, if you adopt an unbalanced view of God and you think that love eventually triumphs over all, that everyone will eventually make it to heaven one way or another, you forget about God's perfect holiness and his obligation to punish sin. And if you think that way, you will have little concern or little urgency concerning the loved ones, your friends and neighbors that have yet to accept Christ. Do you feel a sense of urgency these days with what's going on around us? It's time, folks, that we're urgent about seeing our loved ones come to know the Lord. If, on the other hand, you believe that those whose name is not written in the book of life do face eternal punishment, but also believe that God is a loving and patient God, not willing that any should perish, you will be actively engaged in prayer and in ministry, calling on the resources of the Holy Spirit with his help and his anointing on your personal ministry to help you draw the wayward one to the Lord. Here's one more example of how your knowledge of God will govern your life in 2022. If in your quest to know God more, you discover that he repeatedly reminds his followers to be concerned about the poor, this knowledge should translate into tangible action in being faithful to God's help in God's hurting for the poor. Let's look at Deuteronomy chapter 15, verses 10 and 11. And there we read, give generously to the poor, not grudgingly, for the Lord your God will bless you in everything you do. There will always be some in the land who are poor, and that is why I am commanding you to share freely with the poor and other Israelites in need. I want you to know carefully the word in there, commanding. Sharing with the poor is indeed a command. We should also note that this concern carried over into the New Testament. In Galatians chapter 2, Paul gives us an account of the Jerusalem Council, where the apostles were sorting out who would do what. And one of the things that came out of that council meeting was a reaffirmation of this Old Testament command to remember the poor. Now, if you have yet to find this knowledge about God, or if you choose to ignore it, it's likely that you'll live your life like most of the world, with little evidence of doing anything in a tangible or practical way to help the poor. If, on the other hand, you allow the knowledge of God and his heart for the poor and his command to us, if you put that into practice, it will drive the way you live your life, and you will be engaged in helping the poor. Especially so if you consider the words of Psalm 41 and the promises of verse 1 to 3. That's Psalm 41, 1 to 3. Oh, the joys of those who are kind to the poor. The Lord rescues them when they are in trouble. The Lord protects them and keeps them alive. He gives them prosperity in the land and rescues them from their enemies. The Lord nurses them when they are sick and restores them to health. Those are promises from God's word to those who are tangibly engaged in helping the poor. We can't fix all of the world's poverty, but at least we can be doing something. Now, we could spend a lot of time looking at other examples, but I hope that these examples have illustrated how your knowledge of God and his word, just the basics of his word, the balanced view of his word, how they influence you or should influence you, how to live your life in 2022. What does this quest, this knowledge of God, imply for our church? It would be easy for us to adopt a turtle approach to the pandemic. We could all go away and hide until it's over. We could pull our head back into our shell and completely ignore what's going on around us and just hope that eventually it will go away. We could shut down completely, as many churches have. We could adopt a minimalist approach. We could choose to do only the basics. We could shut down everything but our Sunday service and even do it online. But based on our knowledge of God, based on our knowledge of biblically based attributes of God, is that what he would be really wanting us to be doing? There are some important facts that we should not be overlooked during the pandemic. People all around us are still needing ministry. needing encouragement during a difficult time. Many are sick or suffering from disease, even disease aside from COVID. Many people are suffering from a variety of mental health abnormalities during this time. They may be experiencing restrict access or no access to the resources they desperately need. Living with fear and anxiety, afraid of how and why, when the COVID might strike them or the families. And many continue to die from COVID and other factors, many of them without that restored relationship with God that's only made possible by our Lord's accomplishments on the cross. So as we look ahead in 2022, let's think seriously about increasing our knowledge of God, but also putting our knowledge of God's heart into action to a hurting world around us. We live in concerning and dangerous times. Let's resolve to keep our eyes and ears open to the world of hurt and the need going on around us. Let's not look at the negative aspects of the pandemic, and there are many negative aspects, and they will captivate our minds if we let them. Let's look around for new opportunities to provide ministry in a new and meaningful way to a hurting world around us. Let's put our knowledge of God into action in 2022. Lord, we thank you for your word today. We thank you that it's sharp and powerful, and that when applied, it changes lives, it changes hearts, and it will change the way we live our lives in 2022. Perhaps there's some of us here today that would be like Jeremiah, that would say, correct me, Lord. Do it gently, but correct me. Bring me back to the path where you're calling me to walk, where you're calling me to live, where you're calling me to minister for you. May your Holy Spirit make that message powerful in each of our hearts today. Amen.